Hi, welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. This week we have our weekly check-ins, we have our special segment Today I Learned where things get fishy, and we have our weekly BFPs and BFNs. Let's get to it. Hi everyone, welcome to the show. This is episode 67. Hi Shauna.
Hey.
Hey, you want to tell me how you're doing and how old your baby is this week?
You betcha. Cece is 9 months old.
No. My gosh.
Which feels huge, right? Nine months in the belly, 9 months out of the belly.
In and out. Yeah.
It's wild. Although she was technically in my belly less because I had that C-section a week before her due date and whatever, IVF insertion 2 weeks after.
That's true.
Yes.
Cut that time down a little bit.
I know. I remember you were very jealous of that.
I was, although I have to say that, you know, you don't notice the first 2 weeks. And for the amount of, like, suffering you had to go through to get her in there, I'm not
just
that
a different
jealous.
Kind of suffering.
And then I ended up having my baby early because I had a planned C-section, too. So,
that's true. It all worked out. But so it's been fun. She has started babbling like a madwoman.
Oh,
so
good.
I, of course, am so relieved. It's like... It's almost like I saw the look in her eye the day that she realized she had a voice. Like, she, like, did something, blah, 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 ah, and, like, almost, like, was taken aback in her eyes. I could see that she was like, oh, that was me. I made that sound.
Oh, my gosh.
So I don't think she had realized that before. And so, of course, once she realized that, she was off and running and very excited to just babble.
Oh, my gosh. So what kind of babbling?
So there's a lot of rah, 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 which I was like, rah, like R.
Rah, yeah.
You're going to go with like one of the hardest letters to say, okay, go, good for you. And ga, 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 like a lot of ah vowels and then ga, ga, wah, wah, wah. You know, it's just, oh, it's so cute.
It's so cute.
I love it. Yeah.
I love when they're so chatty.
I know,
my guy's very
too.
Chatty. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you've noticed. And it's just like, we have little conversations. Mostly they're him going, da 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 da. And I'm like, no, Dada's at work. How about Mama? And he looks at me. I'm like, Mama, because he still doesn't say Mama. He's like, I'm like, Mama, say Mama, which is also supposedly one of the like easier consonants, right? The M. No, no, Mama. He's like, I'm like, Mama, say Mama. And he goes, looks at me, and he like gets this really like very serious look in his eyes, and he goes, Dada.
He is messing with you. It reminds me of that book written by Jimmy Fallon. Have you seen this board book? It's called Dada.
I know it exists. Yes. My mother-in-law wanted to get that because she was like, I really want him to say Dada first. I'm like, well, we didn't even need the book. It just happened.
I will say it did nothing for Elle in teaching her how to say Dada before any other words, because we had this one with Elle. It was like... You know, for people who don't know, each little animal is like trying to teach their baby animal to say dada. So like the cow is like dada, and then the baby cow is like moo, and the pig is like dada, and the baby pig says oink. So it's really funny. It's cute. And I think he made one for Mama too. So
I think we both
need to run out and get that one right away.
Yeah.
Because clearly that's how they're going to learn to say Mama, is from a book by Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah. Somehow I don't think that's going to happen.
Who knows?
He's just trolling me with his dadas for now, so.
Yes, he is. The other thing of note this week is that we have dropped the Dream feed.
Oh, tell me more about that.
It was on our agenda for a while, like way back a few months ago. I was like, when are we supposed to drop the Dream feed? And we consulted good old Mr. Google, and apparently the first result that Steve saw said around 9 months. So I was like, okay, let's try to phase that out around 9 months, you know?
Yeah.
And so about a week before she turned 9 months, I was like, well, let's just start cutting down like an ounce a night, you know, because we're doing bottles. So it's pretty clear and easy for me to just cut down every night. It's like 1 ounce less, 1 ounce less. And then after a few days, Steve just didn't do it and she was fine.
Really?
Yeah. I was also adding those ounces in during the day. So instead of 5 ounce bottles, I started making 6 ounce bottles. I'm not sure how that would work with breastfeeding.
Yeah,
maybe
that's the
more
thing.
Minutes during the day. I don't know.
But I feel like during the day, I don't have control over the minutes. You know what I mean? He does. And the problem is that he gets so easily distracted that he nurses a lot, because he'll nurse for like 5 minutes when we're out and about, maybe less, because he'll like nurse, 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 and then someone will walk by and he'll like pop off. He'll leave my tit just like hanging out, and I'm just he's just like, "Hi, stranger. I'm gonna make eye contact with
you." Yes. Left and right.
I know. So, and then like 2 hours later, less than 2 hours later, he's like, you know, face planting in my boob, wanting more. And I'm like, "You've seen it. We've been at your house, and you've seen that." And I'm like, "Dude, you just ate." You know what I mean? Like, according to all the books, it's like babies should be able to go, you know, 2.5 to 3 hours at this age. And I'm like, he's freaking out at like 1 hour 45. And yeah. I think it's because he's just snacking, you know?
He's a grazer.
He's a grazer. So I have wondered about, you know, when do you stop the dream feed? I guess for me, the excuse I'm using is like, I think it helps keep up my supply, you know, which I think is true probably, you know? Because otherwise I'm going 12 hours without nursing at all.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. But there are nights where I'm like, man, you know, I could really just be in bed, you know, right now.
And oh,
it's,
God,
it's at 10:30, yeah. Which I'm not usually in bed before then anyway. But I don't know. It's just one of those things where I'm scared to get rid of it because who knows what's going to happen to his sleep. And so it's good to hear that Cece did well with it.
Yeah. Yeah. She totally did. And if the dream feed were on my plate, I think I might have tried to phase it out sooner. Steve's been in charge of it. And, you know, I go to bed so early. He stays up to like 10:30 and does that dream feed. And I'm just like, nope, peace out. I'm going to bed at like 9:30, 10.
Yeah, I know. Because if I ever text you at like 9:45, I know not to get a response back.
Oh, yeah. No. But you can text me at like 5:45 in the morning and I'll be like, yeah, hello.
That's true. Trade off.
But yeah, that's pretty much our week. What about you? What's going on with you guys? How old's your baby?
My baby is 8 months and 1 week. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so we had a good week. My mom is in town again. And we had another staycation this week because she booked the fancy hotel around the corner from our house, basically.
Oh,
I mean,
man.
Yeah, it's like 5 minutes from our house. We can't walk there, unfortunately. So yeah, it was pretty great. It was hot this week. So like we did more pool days and like it's so funny, the like waiters at the pool like know us now.
Oh my goodness.
So that was fun. The only downside of her being at the hotel instead of like an Airbnb or somewhere near, you know, nearby that's not so enticing to stay at is that, you know, I spend less time at home. You know, usually if she's in town and not staying at a fancy hotel, we're, you know, she's coming over and watching the baby while I get stuff done. So,
oh, true.
The additional sort of layer to my week was, since I knew she was coming, I actually agreed to take my first gig since I've had the baby, my first web development job.
Oh.
Yeah. And it was a very short, like very specific job that, you know, back in the day probably would have taken me like one working day to get done and, you know, would have been really easy for me to squeeze in. Oh, my God. Sean.
Oh, God.
It was so hard. Like, you know, you hear about people talking about how hard it is to be a working mom.
Mm-hmm.
It's like beyond what I ever thought. You know what I mean? Like you don't know how hard it's going to be until you actually try to do it. I ended up having to work nights and naps because I don't have, you know, regular childcare. And the other problem is I don't have anywhere I can work that's private. And so even if I'm trying to work at my desk while my mom was like watching the baby, he was just like sitting there looking at me crying, you know,
oh,
like, and I couldn't focus.
So hard.
So I had to work every night and nap. Ooh, this week.
That
and
sounds
I'm
exhausting.
Fucking exhausted. Yeah. Just like trying to focus too was very, very hard. Like you can probably tell I'm all scattered right now talking too. I'm just like, can't keep a thought straight. And that's not good when you're trying to code, you know, like you should really keep your thoughts straight when you're doing that. So
yeah.
Thankfully I got it done.
Good.
It wasn't easy. And the people
Mom
I work
win.
For, yeah, is pat myself on the back for that because I got it done. I made a little bit of money, which is a nice change. You know, and yeah, I just don't think I can really do much more of that until I have a dedicated office space and like childcare.
Yeah.
I just don't think it's going to be possible.
It is a little bit tricky. I mean, the words that come to my mind are, welcome to my world.
I know. I was just going to say, I don't know. I like literally don't know how you do it. I have no idea how you do it. You're home all day with the baby and you're working full time. Mm-hmm. And I know your job, you know, it's sort of sporadic. So you can like do it when you need to do it. And, you know, that has a little flexibility there. But still, like, I don't know. I don't know if Cece's just less demanding than Micah. I don't know. Like, is she chiller or is it just that you figured out some magic sauce that you can like balance it all or what? Tell me, like, how the hell do you do it?
I really don't know. I mean, she does not beg and cry for me very much. I think that might have a lot to do with it. Like, oftentimes I can put her in her yes space and she will do her own thing for quite a while, especially if I'm not in the yes space with her. If I'm, like, over at the table or on the couch, I can do some stuff. And then she'll, like, you know, check in with me. And if she's hungry or tired, of course, then I really hear from her. But, yeah, I think it would be really hard. Like, when she's leaping or teething or having troubles and is a lot more clingy, it's way more challenging for sure.
When you say you can put her in the yes space and she can keep herself occupied for a while, like, what does that mean? Because I feel like, for me, if my baby goes in the yes space and he spends 5 minutes without, like, starting to cry and needing me to pick him up, like, that's a win for me.
Yeah, no, that does sound like a win. She'll play with her toys, going around from this thing to that thing, the musical table, chewing on shit, playing with her blocks. I mean, she could probably stay occupied for like a good 20 minutes.
Amazing.
Yeah, she'll check in with me, of course, and I'll be like, oh, hi, sweetie. And, you know, I talk to her and everything, but not anything that takes my attention away so much that I have to completely stop what I'm doing. Like, she allows me to work.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Maybe she just doesn't love me as much as your baby loves you.
I don't think that's it. I think you also probably practiced with her from an earlier age. Like, you had that yes space set up and you let her do independent play. I didn't really do that so much at the beginning and I'm kind of regretting it now. But who knows? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that makes a difference. But I will say it was my intention, even with Elle, pretty early on, like making a yes space in the pack and play and like giving her time for me to step away so that she could look around and explore and work on her independent time. Like, that was an actual intention and focus of mine, and I did that with Cece too. So I don't know if that helped build a skill or if I just have kids who don't care about adult interaction as much. I don't know. Who knows, man?
Who knows? Who knows? I mean, he can independent play. It's just not for that long, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And especially not if I'm so close, you know?
Yeah. Well, he also wants those boobies, milk.
He really wants those boobies, man.
Yeah.
All the time. So anyway, that was it was a tough week. It was fun. It was relaxing. You ever have that thing where you're like stressed out about relaxing too much? You know, you're like, ooh, all this time. Like, you know, I wanted to like go to the pool with my mom at the hotel because, you know, my mom's, I mean, you probably think she's in town all the time based on how often she is in town a lot.
Yeah.
But, you know, my mom's in town and I don't want to like ruin that, and I wanted to like take advantage of this crazy heat wave, so it's like, of course we're gonna go in the pool. But then like while I'm sitting there, I'm just like, oh my god, when am I gonna get this thing done? I promised them I'd have it done by, you know, Friday. And
yeah, I have trouble relaxing for sure. I can relate to that.
Mm-hmm. Anyway,
but you did it. The week's over. Good job.
The week is over. Well, should we take some cleansing breaths and come back for our special segment?
Indeed. Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids, but you know they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why Storyworth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give Storyworth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to storyworth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, Storyworth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted Storyworth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/BFP.
That's storyworth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple-step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at oneskin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. allomoves.com, code BFP.
We're back, and this week's special segment is Today I Learned, where we discuss interesting things we've learned recently about babies, parenting, momming, anything in that realm. Lori.
Who's Lori?
I just called you Lori. Lori's my own landlord who was a real wreck.
My dad calls me Lori.
He does?
Yeah, in a Transylvanian accent, with Lori.
Oh, that's so weird. Mm-hmm. I've never thought of you as Lori. So funny. Laura, what do you have for us this week?
Okay, so my today I learned is about something called, which is a phrase that I've never heard of, called fertility fraud. Have you heard of this?
No, but I don't like the sound of it.
I don't think you're going to like it. It's kind of sad and terrifying, but super interesting. So I found this New York Times story, and the title of the story was, "Their mothers chose donor sperm. The doctors used their own." Which is, like, so gross. So now that people are getting these, like, DNA tests, 23andMe and Ancestry and all that stuff, it's turned out that it's not, like, an isolated thing. Like, it turns out that this has been happening all over the place. There are apparently, like, 20 cases in a dozen states that this one lawyer is tracking.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, of doctors. Like, it's a very specific thing, right? Like, a fertility doctor using their own sperm. Not, like, not just that, like, the sperm donors were mixed up or whatever. Is like, that they were regularly using their own.
Totally intentional.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. 100% intentional. And so, like, there's a bunch in the States. There was one in the Netherlands, Dr. Jan Karbat, who apparently fathered 56 children.
Oh, my Lord.
Before Dutch authorities closed down his practice back in 2009. There was a Canadian doctor that had at least 11 babies with his own sperm. And then the way he defended himself, get this, is that he claimed he used his own sperm to calibrate the machinery, like the equipment. And so that's why 11 babies were born with his sperm.
Like a little leftover sperm from the machine just like snuck in was powerful. Cool, cool.
I don't think a judge bought that one. But here's the thing. So there was this one in Indiana where apparently this doctor spent two decades doing this, right? And he got caught. But the only thing they could do was remove his medical license and give him like 1 year of a suspended jail sentence because there weren't any laws to prohibit this.
Wow.
Like there was like literally nothing they could do. It wasn't illegal. So now like Indiana and I think California and Texas are working on laws. Like Indiana passed one. I think California passed one. But like I think in most states there's not actually laws specific to fertility fraud, which is
so bizarre and crazy. Do you think it's narcissism that drives this or like they want to up their numbers so they know like the fathers have low sperm so they're just like, eh, we'll use some of mine?
That's a really good question. Like it's hard to get into the mind of these doctors like what really would, you know, encourage it. Part of me wonders, I did recently meet a mom who used donor sperm to conceive her baby. She's in a same-sex marriage. And so they spent, I think, 6 years trying to conceive. And when they were using like frozen sperm, it never worked. And what finally worked for her was like she got inseminated like in the next room from the donor. Like the donor went in, you know, made the donation and then they like walked it over and then she got inseminated. And that's what worked. So like none of there because they have to put in like preservatives and like the freezing. I don't know. She said that, you know, it wasn't working. Fun fact, she also told me that she was paying a ton of money for, like, the shipment of the frozen sperm. And then she realized that, like, hundreds of dollars. And then she realized that, like, the cheaper, more effective way, because she actually got some that was, like, thawed by the time it had gotten there, so she couldn't use it. And it's expensive, apparently. I don't know. I've never been in the market, but I imagine it's expensive. Or you don't want to buy cheap sperm, right?
I don't think you do.
You don't want bargain. It's like discount sushi. You want to pay a little bit extra for quality.
Exactly. You're not going to the dollar store for your sperm.
But she said she discovered that if you just get one of those Hydro Flask bottles, which I think was like my BFP way back, you know, those like insulated bottles, fill it with ice, stick the sperm vial in there, it actually travels way better and is way cheaper. So if anyone is, you know, in the process of fertility treatments and needs to transport sperm, apparently that's the way to go.
I guess so. And that is a marketing angle that I'm sure Hydro Flask has not considered.
Well, she did make a joke about how her wife like refuses to drink out of that bottle.
I 100% would refuse to drink out of
it
that bottle.
It was wrapped up. I don't know. I'm like, whatever. It's a Hydro Flask bottle. Like it's worth, it's, you know, it's a nice bottle. Anyway, but so that's a long story to say that maybe the reason they did start doing it is because they discovered that older sperm wasn't working. So if they had some freshies, I think a lot of them mixed it like half and half, like they admit it to mixing the sperm. So I don't know. But yeah, there's got to be narcissism in there because who's like, you know what this woman needs? my baby.
Yeah. Yeah. I would love to get inside the mind of that person. This reminds me of the show on Netflix called Sisters. Have you seen this?
Okay. So I was going to say it's an Australian show.
Yeah. It's awesome. I love it. And is it this good? Exact premise. I love it. Yes.
So I was going to say I just found out about it because I was researching this for the segment. I found out that Fox just has a new show on this season called Almost Family that's based on the Australian show Sisters.
Oh, although, good. I can't wait for them to mess it up. Okay, cool.
Oh, yeah. Apparently it sucks. Apparently it's really bad. Like all the articles I saw were like, ooh, they get it really wrong. So, yeah,
well, so listeners, disregard that one. Go to Netflix, watch the Australian one.
It was good.
It's great. I loved it. Mm-hmm.
Well, but that's the thing. It must be like such a thing because they make TV shows about it. Oh, and the book Inheritance. Have you read that?
Mm-mm.
I just read it. It's actually really great by Dani Shapiro. The book is about how she discovers that her dad is not her dad. And then, eventually you find out, like, she finds out her parents did, you know, artificial insemination and that the doctor was probably her father. Mm-hmm. And the book is really interesting because it's really a meditation on, like, she loved her father. Like, she and her father had a great relationship. And she finds out, you know, after he's died as an adult, that he's not her father and, like, what that means. And it's actually extremely well written.
Oh, wow. That sounds good.
So I highly recommend Inheritance. But, yeah, I don't know. I just – heebie-jeebies and also just, like, people suck, man. You
people
know?
Totally suck. And it is really sad because I think it might make some people hesitate about going through this infertility process, the IVF thing. I mean, I definitely received messages. Like when I first announced I was going to try IVF, I received messages like, well, you can't do that because the doctor's going to put his own sperm in there. And I'm just like, oh. So I was aware of this idea, you know, even back in when I started these treatments. And you have to put so much trust, 100% trust. In your doctors, in the process, and all of the people that deal with all of the your materials. I mean, there's lab workers, there's who knows. And you just hope that your baby comes out looking exactly like your husband, like mine did.
Yeah, I was going to say there's no ambiguity.
No.
Cece is like a little she's called Cece because she's a carbon copy of Steve.
There you go. There you go. We figured it out.
And it's so cute. But yeah, there's not a lot of question about paternity on that one.
Yeah, exactly. But I do think it's the exception to the rule. And
for sure. And I do think that it might have been more common in the past because there was such a stigma around it, you know, especially in like the 60s and 70s. People weren't, like, going on podcasts talking about how they were using sperm donors or IVF. You know what I mean? Like, IVF was in the late 70s.
70, early, 70, the same year I was born. 78 was the first one.
Yeah. So, you know, there was a lot of stigma around fertility treatments and infertility. Yep. I mean, I think there still is, but at least it's a little bit more open and hopefully this stops being a thing. I mean, people also know about DNA. You know what I mean? Like, no one knew that we were all going to be able to spit in a little tube and send it off to 23andMe and find out what happens, you know?
Exactly.
Find out who our actual fathers are. I did it. My actual father is my actual father.
Oh,
I also
good.
Look just like him, so there's that, too.
That helps.
Phew. Anyway, that's my Today I Learned. Shauna, what do you have for us?
Okay, today I learned that babies in the womb have lizard hands.
Say what again?
Babies in the womb have lizard-like muscles in their hands.
Okay.
And most of us lose these extra muscles before we're born. But, like, scientists can see them when they do detailed 3D imaging.
Uh-huh.
When the fetus is between 7 and 13 weeks old. They have little lizard hands.
What does that mean?
It means they have extra muscles that, like, attach over their different fingers. Uh-huh. Like, almost like what our thumbs have. Like, we have a lot of extra muscles in our thumbs that make our thumbs dexterous.
Okay.
And if these muscles, like, stayed and developed in our fingers, we maybe, like, would have, like, dexterous ape feet hands. Like, all of our fingers would be dexterous. But instead, we, like, lose these muscles and we just have lame-o fingers? I don't know.
I mean, our fingers do a lot.
They do a lot. They do a lot. But our thumbs are pretty incredible.
I mean, they don't cling to walls, I guess, you know, like
no.
a gecko.
And we don't need to, I guess, is the point of why these get deleted before we're born. But the cool thing that I thought is that scientists say it's a really, really early remnant of evolution from when reptiles were transitioning to humans. So these lizard-like muscles haven't been seen in adult human hands for like 250 million years. But yet, when we're little fetuses, we have them. Like, we start developing them, and then we just, like, get rid of them.
Oh, so that's really interesting. I was actually talking to my brother not that long ago, probably when I was pregnant, about, you know, how I've heard that when you are developing as a fetus, you go through, like, if you ever see, like, a picture of a, like, I don't know, like a six-week-old fetus or whatever, you almost look like a tadpole, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And you have gills, you know? Yeah, at the beginning you have gills. And there's this concept called, well, it has a bunch of different names, but the way he said it was ontogeny recapitulates phylogeny, which I was like, say what now?
Yeah.
But ontogeny is the growth and development of an organism, right? Like, so as you are in, you know, in utero, a fetus, it's the ontogeny is going from small to big, basically, right? Phylogeny is the evolutionary development of the species. So your ontogeny happens at the same time as the phylogeny, I don't even know if I'm saying that right, goes on. So like as you grow, you basically are recreating the history of your species.
What? Mind blown.
So you go from like fish to lizard to, you know, whatever. That's where it breaks down for me.
What's after lizard?
What's
dinosaur?
After lizard?
Turtle.
But yeah, I think it's pretty interesting. I mean, it's also a really good, you know, a lot of evidence for the old evolution in there.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But yeah, it's the gills thing and I guess it lizard hands. I never really thought about how specifically you would have lizard hands, though. I'm just imagining the Geico gecko.
Yes, that's what was inside of our bodies between adorable. 7 and 13 weeks. That's so cute.
It's a miracle.
Aw, Geico. So scientists say that other examples of retaining like pointless evolutionary shit in our bodies, aside from lizard muscles, is another example would be like ostriches, which still have wings, even though they don't fly. But like their bodies still continue to make wings. And I guess we still continue to make lizard muscles for a little while, even though we don't cling to walls and climb trees and stuff. So interesting.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's remnants of previous, you know, evolutionary states, I feel like. But also, like, for a long time, I think they thought the appendix was a vestigial organ, right?
Yes.
Which, like, but now they're like, oh, it actually might have a purpose. Like, like, never mind. They think it, like, has something to do with the gut biome, and it's important now. Like, whoops. But we used to take those out.
Yeah, just cut it right out.
Just cut it right out. No problems. But, yeah, you know, there are people who are born with tails, and they're totally fine.
Yeah.
My mom has told me all about this stuff because, you know, she's gotten to see all of the variations of the human form in her practice. And so, you know, she says, you know, they will cut the little vestigial tail off, you know, for comfort and for aesthetic purposes, but like there's nothing wrong with it, you know? There's no reason, you know,
that's
they have to get rid of it.
Fascinating. This article also mentions the coccyx being one of those vestigial
coccyx. Tailbone, right?
Tailbone and wisdom teeth, which, although, you know, I got ripped out.
See, mine, I never got taken out, and now three of the four of them are out and functional teeth.
What happened to the fourth one?
It's still impacted.
What?
I just refused. Like, okay, my mom thinks that, you know, that everyone getting their wisdom teeth out is sort of like the way that everyone got their tonsils out in the 80s. She thinks it's like unnecessary surgery. She's not a dentist, by the way, so, you know.
I still appreciate her opinion.
But she rightfully was like, look, I don't want you to have unnecessary surgery unless you need it, right? Like, I mean, I guess you can't have an unnecessary surgery if you need it. But she said, you know, there's no reason for you to have surgery if you're not having pain. And I would ask dentists, I would like, why do I need to get them out? And they're like, oh, well, it might cause you pain in the future. I'm like, oh, well, can we wait till that happens? And they're like, sure. And they're like, it might cause you some like benign tumors when you're in your 80s. I was like, and I could get it taken out then? And they're like, yeah. So I'm like, okay, cool. So I let them in. And then in college, like one started coming out. And then like in grad school, another started coming out.
Oh, you were teething in college.
I was teething in college.
No wonder you were so
I was getting wisdom and I was getting my wisdom teeth.
Oh, I see. Brilliant.
But yeah, they're out and they are functional.
That is so interesting. I don't remember why I got mine out. I was 16. I don't remember the circumstances.
Well, because everyone does it. Mm-hmm. I'm definitely the weirdo who didn't get it done.
Yeah, I think the thing was like your mouth is small. The teeth will like push all the teeth and mess them up. And I like had straight teeth already. And I was like, well, just rip them on out.
Was it hard? Was it bad?
It was not that bad for me. No.
That's good.
I was eating like tortilla chips and salsa like the next day.
Oh,
but
dang.
I have heard horror stories. Tonsillectomy, though, was an absolute nightmare.
Really?
Yes, I have nightmares of that. But anyways, I digress.
Yeah, like none of this has to do with babies or parenting.
No.
Shall we go over her medical histories just for fun?
Just for fun. Just my own history of pain. Okay, so that brought up a lot. So anyway, the point is a lot of scientists aren't sure why these muscles delete before birth. So that's like they know that it happens now, but they're not sure why. And some babies are born with them, and that can lead to birth defects. And now their knowledge of this presence in the womb might help them understand why this happens and maybe how to fix them. And this, by the way, is all my summary of information I read in articles online from BBC.com. So,
okay, we'll post that on our website.
Yeah, very interesting stuff.
Do you know what else we'd like people to do on our website or on our social medias? Should we put out our call for questions?
Yeah.
So we want to do our segment Check in the Inbox, but we need some inbox to check. So we just wanted to see if anyone had burning questions for us. Reach out to us at BigFatPositivePodcast.com or our Instagram or Facebook or Twitter, I guess. We don't use Twitter that much, but we have one, so you could go use it. It's at BFP Podcast, at BFP Podcast for all of our socials. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, and I mean, the questions could really be anything. It could be personal. It could be something you're unsure of in pregnancy or parenting. Laura and I are very good at consulting the internet, finding some information, and then having opinions about it. So we would love to talk about anything.
Oh, and if you want to leave like a voice memo, you could like take a little memo on your phone, you know, those voice notes or what do they call them? Voice memos?
Yeah.
You can send that in to us too. We'd love it. And we will play your question on the air.
Yeah, that would be fantastic.
That'd be awesome. So yeah, go check out our website or our socials.
You can send those voice memos to contact@bigfatpositivepodcast.com. That's contact@bigfatpositivepodcast.com.
And ask us a question.
Awesome. All right. So should we move on to our BFPs and BFNs after this break?
Let's do it.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors. There's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor, and I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important, and therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although, of course, it is helpful in those situations, too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP. Hey, listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by LolaVie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With LolaVie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the wringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter LolaVie's bestsellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
LolaVie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at LolaVie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at LolaVie.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you. And we're back. So we close every episode with our big fat positives or big fat negatives of the week. Shauna, do you have a BFP or a BFN for us?
I actually have a BFN this week.
Wah, wah.
Yeah. So for all the like really fun, cute stuff that we had going on at the tail end of the week, Cece got her first fever.
Oh.
And we had to make a trip to the urgent care.
Wow. How high was it?
I think it got up to like 102.5 or something.
That's
like that.
Scary.
Yeah, it was like she had been feeling sick for a couple days, and then all of a sudden on Sunday, like just massive fatigue, burning hot, and it was so sad. And she was coughing a lot, and she like threw up a couple times, and so it's just like I just panicked and was like, "I'm taking her to urgent care," and we have a great pediatric urgent care that we really like, that we take L to all the time. So I went there. And
that's nice.
Yeah, it's a really great place. And it's just so sad and scary to see your little ones with a fever, and especially when they're infants. So that was rough.
What happened? So was she better soon, quickly, or?
Yeah, so we went and he checked her out, and he's like, you know, she doesn't have any infections in her lungs or her ears. Like, that's what I really wanted them to check to see. And he's like, I think it's just a virus, and she's got a high fever because of that. And the vomiting, I think, is from, like, her coughing. Like, she's coughing too much and then, spitting up stuff. So I was like, okay, that made me feel better. And, you know, he told me a few things I could do, like, you know, Tylenol, Motrin, baby Vicks for her cough. And, a few little things that we did. And by the next day, she was better.
That's good. They bounce back.
They do. They really do. But the sweetest thing about it, like the BFP that did come out of it, is a baby with a fever is the snuggliest baby in the world. Like, I just spent probably an hour or two, maybe even on Sunday, just like in the rocking chair with my like sick little baby, just resting her head on my chest, rocking and like taking care of her. And
that is sweet.
Yeah.
It's my guy doesn't he just doesn't do that anymore. He's like, I'm trying to give him a hug and he's like, I want to do stuff. I want to look at everything.
No, it's so hard. Even with my 3-year-old, like, you know, she'll get sick with a fever and I'm just like, oh, the snuggles of the olden days. I'm sorry you're sick. I'm really sorry you're sick, but give me those cuddles.
Oh, I live for those cuddles.
I live for those cuddles. But yes, she has bounced back, but it's a scary thing, you know. I don't know. I get real scared about fevers. I don't know if your guys had a fever, if you know anything about baby fever since your parents are doctors.
You know, he's only had like minor fevers, like 99, 100, you know, the kind that where you take his temp and you're like, this is margin of error, you know, like I'm not sure. Yeah. So nothing serious, but I am a little obsessed with like taking his temperature because anytime you feel slightly warm, I'm like, I'm going to take your temperature. But now he loves the one that you do across the forehead. The kind I got, like it makes a little clicking noise and you're supposed to go temple to temple. And he just like sticks his little like face out, and like he just follows it with his eyes.
Oh my God, that's a cute visual.
Yeah, it's really cute. He thinks it's funny. So, but yeah, thankfully we haven't had a high fever. I was so nervous about that when the baby was like a newborn, because I think in the first 3 months, like before, until they're out of the newborn phase, if they get a fever, what, higher than 102, it's like automatic ER, right? Like automatic, like you automatically get admitted, I think.
Yeah.
Because fevers in very young babies are really dangerous. But yeah. But yeah, no, I mean, I think it's good to keep an eye on it. And, you know, Tylenol and Motrin are your friends. It kind of makes me cringe when I see like on, you know, baby boards and like mommy groups where people will be like, oh, my baby has a fever. Like, are there any like homeopathic remedies I can, you know, use? And I'm like, girl, Tylenol and Motrin, you know, like they are there for a reason. Like, let's not mess with fever. Because the thing about a fever, as far as I understand, is that, you know, it's like cooking your brain, essentially. Oh, it's a terrible visual. But, you know, that's why you don't want a long, prolonged fever with your baby's brain, because you don't want it to have like that high temperature affecting the brain. It's the other reason, that's the same reason why they didn't want you to like get into jacuzzis or like take super hot showers as a pregnant person, because they don't want you to mimic you having a fever, you know, cooking your baby.
Right. So, that makes sense. Yeah.
But did I ever tell you about the time I like took a hot shower? Because I was feeling, you know, because when you're freaking like 8 months pregnant and you're just like, I just need to take a freaking shower.
Yes.
I took like an actual hot shower and then took my temperature afterwards to see what happened. And it went from like before it was 98.6 on the dot and it was like 99.0 when I got out of the hot shower. So
like, so it was like no big deal.
Yeah. I think Emily Oster wrote about that in Expecting Better too, right? That's like not a thing. Although I think jacuzzis are, you know, like abundance of caution, but.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't dip your pregnant belly in 105 degree water or whatever. I don't know how hot hot tubs get.
I think it's like 104. I don't know. Yeah. But yeah. Oh, you definitely don't want to be in there for a long time.
No.
I know. I want a hot tub. Me too. You guys, are you ever going to get your hot tub functional? You guys have one.
We do. It's so old. It was with the house when we got it. We tried to like clean it and refill it to put so much time and effort into cleaning this thing, refilling it with clean water. And then we turned on the pump and it spewed like years of filth from the pipes just straight in to the hot tub with the bubbles. They're like, okay, never mind. So it's been covered ever since.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. Anyway, all right, what about you? Do you have a BFP or BFN?
I have a BFP.
Ooh.
Which is this baby toothbrush we've been using.
Ooh, I have a baby toothbrush, too. Do we have the same one?
Mine is called the Jordan Step 1 Baby Toothbrush, 0 to 2 years.
Ooh.
And is that the same one?
No, so I want to know about it.
Okay, so it's like, it's circular. I'm like, how do I describe it?
Okay.
So it's like
does it have a handle? Toothbrush.
It's the handle is like round, right?
Oh,
so there's like a hole in the center. So it almost looks like a teething ring. Actually, the handle is a teething ring.
Oh, okay.
So that's what's kind of great about it. So like it's a little baby, you know, baby-sized toothbrush, really soft bristles. And then the base is like sort of, I don't know, I want to say like the size of a small plum. Maybe it's smaller than that. It has a little hole in the middle and it has like little rubber, like textured rubber parts to it. So like it's a teething thing and a toothbrush.
Oh,
and it's really easy for their little hands to grab. And I realized like after my baby got, he has two little teeth on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh crap, am I supposed to be like brushing his teeth?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh yeah, I do have to brush his teeth. Turns out you were supposed to be like brushing their gums too. Did you know this?
Okay, stop. Just don't even go
I'm
there.
I'm just telling
you
what I learned. Today I learned you're supposed to like brush their gum. I don't know. I never did.
That's like telling someone you need to brush your dog's teeth every day, okay? That is just not gonna happen.
No, no, you know what's worse is that my vet told me I had to brush my cat's teeth every day. I want to know who can do that. Like, I want to meet the person who actually can do that, because I can't get my finger anywhere near my cat's mouth in that context anyway.
No. Mm-mm.
But the good news is it's a lot easier to brush a baby's teeth when they're like excited about it and they like their toothbrush. And so like we got this one and it's really cute and he actually really likes it. And so I let him kind of do it. Like he just kind of gnaws on it, you know, and then I'll just kind of like make a joke about him. Be like, brush, brush, brush. And he thinks it's really funny because it kind of tickles. Mm-hmm. But it makes me happy because he looks forward to brushing his teeth.
Cool.
So I will, of course, post a link to this on our website.
Awesome.
The Jordan Step 1 Baby Toothbrush. What? Wait, so what's your toothbrush?
It's the Frida Baby toothbrush.
Yes.
It's like a yellow handle and it's got it like it purports to brush both sides of the teeth at once. It's got bristles that surround the little teeth. I've only used it a few times. She just sprouted teeth. She was kind of a late bloomer as far as teething goes. So I don't know. I don't know how toothbrushing is going to go for us. I'll let you know.
You know, my mom says that as long as they break one tooth by the age of 12 months, it's considered normal.
Oh,
so
okay.
She might be on the later end of like average, but she's definitely not late.
Okay. Good to know. So,
Yeah. But anyway, probably should go brush my baby's teeth.
Same.
Maybe mine too.
And yeah.
Try for my cats. It's been nice knowing you.
Hope you survive.
Laura died of blood loss after trying to brush her cat's teeth.
Oh my goodness. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. We love you so much. And if you have anything you want to add to the conversation, please reach out. And if you have any questions for us for that check in the inbox segment, you know we want to hear from you. Laura, where can everyone reach us one more time?
We are at BigFatPositivePodcast.com. We are also on the social medias at BFP Podcast. That's Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at BFP Podcast. We also have a Facebook community group. Just search for Big Fat Positive Community. Click Ask to Join. It's a closed group. Keeps all of our conversations private, but I will add you right away.
And if you like the podcast, please be sure to rate or review us on whatever platform you listen and spread the love. If you know a pregnant person or a new parent, please let them know about Big Fat Positive Podcast. Big Fat Positive is produced by Laura Bierick, Shauna Maiko, and Steve Yeager.
Thanks for listening, everyone. We will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.